They say that beauty is only skin deep, but is it though? You've got to figure out that answer for yourself. We're going to talk today a lot more about beauty, what it is, and the difference that it really makes. Let's do it. What's my story? How did I get here? Hey y'all, what's happening? It's Robert Kennedy III, RK3. That's me with another episode of the What's My Story podcast, the show where we talk to fabulous, fantastical is the word that I wanted to use, people who have pivotal moments in their lives that help them get from there to here. Things that happened in their space, experiences that they've been able to navigate that led them towards the success that they are now currently experiencing. Why do we do this? Well, because we want to make sure that you know that whatever's happening in your life is possible to navigate that. The things that you're experiencing, those are not your things alone. Those are things that a lot of people may experience. And in some cases, if you think it's the worst thing ever, we want to show you some roadmaps that others have used to get from there to here. So we're going to go into that today with our guest very shortly, but I want to thank our sponsor for the day, Rescue Event Planning. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. Make sure that you listen to the podcast, the audio version of the podcast. We release that every Thursday at 7 a.m. because this is the video version and we don't want you to listen to this while you're driving, right? We want to make sure that you're safe. So the audio version of the podcast is available on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all of the fabulous podcast directories. We're there. Do me a favor. I want you to text me. If you have a guest that you love to see on the show, if you've got a thought that you want to share with me, go ahead, join me in the community, 410-936-4049, 410-936-4049. And lastly, if you want to gain more visibility, if you are a small business owner, coach, or consultant, and you know that you need to amp up your presence, you need to be able to connect and contact people in a different way than you're doing now, then join me in the Storytellers Growth Lab. Hey, we don't only tell stories, we help you be amazing as well. All right. So we're going to get to our guest today. My guest today is Emily Katz. She's an image presence consultant, master makeup artist with L Beauty Genius. She is recognized as a high profile celebrity makeup artist to the likes of Minnie Driver, Michelle Williams, Sharon Stone, Bradley Cooper, among many others. She's done makeup for a lot of elite TV shows like Lost. She has done makeup and personal image consulting for a lot of top leaders. Her goal is not just to help you be beautiful through makeup, but to help you achieve the right image so that you can connect and just have great relationships with others who you come in contact with. We're going to talk to her in just a moment here. And here she is, Emily Katz. Ooh, yeah. What's your story, Emily? How you doing today?
Hey, Robert. Hi, how you doing? Thank you. Fantastical. Wow, I love that. So, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to share a story that you've had that truly made a difference, not just in my life, but has enabled me to make a difference in other people's lives and not just make actors look better, because most of them look pretty good to begin with, but truly to help folks like us, you know, just us folks, look and feel really empowered and great to get out there in the world and make an impact in a way that feels genuine and authentic. And as we just discussed a moment ago, those two words, they're so overused, and yet they're still so salient, you know. Darn it, it's like
Yeah. So listen, you have this experience, and before we dive a little bit further, I wanna give people just some backdrop of who you are. We talked about Sharon Stone and Bradley Cooper, Michelle Williams. How did you get started in that industry?
You know, it's a funny story. Essentially, I had modeled when I was much younger and learned how to do makeup because I did haute couture runway modeling. And one of the Italian makeup artists that was coming over to North America was doing beautiful work, but it really hurt when he applied it. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm a painter, I'm a watercolorist, I can figure this out on myself. So I did, and then some of the other women I was working with would pull me in the bathroom and say, do my makeup. Oh my gosh, I just do my makeup. So I would do their makeup. The guy wasn't very happy. The designers hardly noticed because it was the same style. You know, nowadays maybe that can't happen, but it did then. And that was how I really learned how to do makeup. And wow. Then I was mentored and with master makeup artists in fashion and then in film. And then the funny story about how I got into film was I was sitting in a movie theater with a friend who was pregnant. Her baby was kicking her relentlessly. So we had to sit through the dreaded roll credits at the end of the movie that everybody seems to walk out on. And I looked up and went, makeup, wait a minute. I'm a makeup artist. I'm going to go to Hollywood and I'm going to do makeup. And blindly unaware of how difficult it was to break into doing that, I did. And so that began my career in Hollywood as a makeup artist.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is that Michelangelo could have been a makeup artist as well.
He's one of my inspirations. When I was a little kid, I was always fascinated. So sure, although I think his talents would have been very wasted if he had just been a makeup artist. You know, wow. Honestly, I mean, where would David have been with the Sistine Chapel, you know, if he was just making the Medicis look pretty, you know?
Wow. So you've gotten into the industry, into the Hollywood industry, and you've been able to work with some big names. Tell us about how big of a deal is having the right makeup in Hollywood?
Well, the thing is, you know, you can, there are a lot of different iterations of makeup in Hollywood. You can be talking about your skill set for doing beauty makeup on a movie or a TV show, or your effects makeup, or there's runway makeups, and then there's event makeups, you know, like red carpet makeups. And what I have excelled at, because I can speak to my experience about that. I have excelled at creating a very clean, very natural beauty that, you know, enhances the person. Of course, they can look glamorous or not, but it was that ability, and probably as my background as a watercolorist, because I tend to use more sheer applications that led me to be able to do the work on Lost, which is what I did get the Beauty Genius Award for, was they recognized what I did. And it was all sheer washes of colorations that created both the texture of the island distressed looks and also the beauty looks that worked in that show. So, you know, it's learning, you know, to go into what's the background of it. It's like, if anybody is an aspiring makeup artist, please just don't learn from Instagram, you know, or TikTok or something, because those are often very extreme makeups that are trendy and of the moment. And that stuff doesn't really work at the end of the day for longevity, you know, because otherwise it looks dated. So it's learning. It's really learning art. It's learning sculpture. It's learning the play of light and dark. There's a facial structure, body structure. There's a whole lot to learn. So it's much more in depth than people often realize. Yeah. It's not like looking at the makeup counter.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of work in Hollywood, and you've done makeup specific work, and now you're no longer doing only that. Now, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, now you're doing some work with leaders. Now you're doing some work with helping people look past just kind of the, just the simple beauty aspect of it, or the, dare I say, the artificial beauty aspect of it. What was the moment for you where you began to realize that your work was so much more than, and I'm going to really simplify it here, your work was so much more than simply slapping some materials on somebody's face? What was that moment for you?
There are a number of little incremental moments that mm-hmm. were ascending to that pivot point. Right. And a lot of them were because in working with someone, recognizing how they felt a transformation, you know, either mm-hmm. as an actor into their character, or if I was doing someone's makeup, let's say for their wedding, how they would feel really good about themselves, and the mm-hmm. more of the, to use a phrase, of the who they are really, that would come forth when they felt really good about themselves. And I started correlating that there's really a connection here between our inner beauty and our outer beauty and expressing that more fully. And a number of pivotal moments happened while I was working on the show Lost, because I was on the show for quite a few years. And one of my actresses, Elizabeth Mitchell, looked at me one day and said, "You know, you are so much more than mascara and lipstick. It's like, wow. You know, there's really like something that goes on." And as I realized that, I started, you know, it made it evident to me that this is what was going on. And then Evangeline Lilly said to me, when she said, "What would you be doing if you weren't doing makeup?" I'd say, "Oh, well, I've always wanted to be a painter and get paid for painting." And she grabbed my hand, looked me in the eye and said, "And just what do you think you're doing right now?" I'm like, "Making you up?" She goes, "No, you're painting me." And she goes, "M, come on." And I was like, oh, wait, all these things are starting to make sense. But then the biggest aha moment I had was I was on Lost in the pouring rain, the 16th hour in the pouring rain, the third raincoat, the second pair of waterproof rain boots, up to my knees in mud. And I was thinking, I got to do something else. I've got to make a contribution other than just standing here in the rain, wondering what I'm doing with my life. And that's when I really thought, yep, time to make a pivot. So Robert, that was a pivot. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So yeah. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to hold you because we've got to stop for a break here really quickly. But the question is, when you decided, when you had that moment, now you began mm-hmm. to make some connections. Your connections are now, hey, my work is more than just, you know, changing colors on people's faces. My work really has some value in that it adds to life differently. It makes people respond differently. It changes influence and here's the word, presence, right? It changes those types of things. When we come back, I want you to tell us how you share with people about the connection between your image and relationships, or the connection between your image and how people receive information from you. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Are you still struggling to plan your next event? Let us rescue you. It's handled. It's handled. It's handled. I am Melissa Jakes, CEO and founder of Rescue Event Planning, the Olivia Pope of live events. Consider your next event handled.
Thanks so much for that, Melissa. We appreciate your sponsorship of the show. If you want your event handled, Make sure that you connect with Rescue Event Planning. If you've ever done an event, you know that there's a lot of work involved. You know that having to do all of it yourself is probably next to impossible. So make sure that you get the Olivia Pope of events, Melissa Jakes, over at Rescue Event Planning, so that your event can be handled. All right, let's go back. Emily, so yes. We're talking about your transition here, your transition from just somebody who sees herself as a makeup artist to somebody who transforms lives through this beautification process, or the process of paying attention to image. What are some of the things that you share with people as you have begun to make this transition?
Some of the things, thank you, Robert, for addressing what it is, because sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, I really need to look better, or I really need to do this to create more respect in work, or I want to rebrand myself, or I want to go in a different direction. Excuse me. Whatever that is, what I love to do is to assist people in seeing how beautiful they really are inside. And this goes for men as well as women. It's not just a female thing, because a lot of us have become so outwardly focused that we've neglected to recognize and remember that the internal of who we are is truly where our magnificence lies. And the work that I do is to help people connect with that true essence and bring it forward, so that what really gets seen is not just the polish, or, you know, you use the word artifice. I like to use the word superfice, because it's, you know, they're like, you can put lots of fancy clothes on people, or beautiful makeup, or have a guy get really all like decked and look fantastic, but what's inside there? And that's what people at the end of the day really see and really, really connect with. And when I work with people, I don't necessarily overtly go, hey, we're gonna deep dive into who you are right now. It's about allowing them to express to me what they feel, what they think, and creating a safe space. And I can't really tell you how that's something that I thought of as, well, this is the formula, how to do this. Yeah. It's just the way that I do it. And when people have a space where they feel safe enough to express their concerns and their, what I call their limiting beliefs, because when we all have various perceptions of ourselves. And when we perceive ourselves a certain way, it's not always the way the world looks at us, or it's not the way we want the world to look at us. And so when we can dig a little deeper and in a safe place, let go of those limiting beliefs and recognize, oh, wow, I really do have beauty. Oh, I really am an amazing person that I can put out there in the world. Because a lot of us feel invisible or disempowered or not good enough. And, you know, when you look at all the social media stuff, and then there's, you know, there used to be magazines, now not so much, now it's more social media, but there was a lot of pressure for women, particularly in the Western world, to look a certain way, and for guys to be a certain way. And when we can get beneath those limiting beliefs, the true presence comes forward, and then we can really shine. You know, that's when that really incredible thing begins to happen, and people see it and they go, ooh, I want some of that. Not in like a, you know, a sexual way, but more like you've got like some kind of energy thing that, even if they don't think it's energy, you know, just something that I want, that I need to be a part of. And that's how I work with people, to get them to a place where they recognize themselves and can put that in the world. And it doesn't have to be like, ooh, look at me, here I am in the world. It's often subtle, but it's there.
So a lot of people see gurus and they watch people online share with them how they should be, how their mindset affects life and beauty and all of these. They see Tony Robbins, they see, you know, Eric Thomas, they see who are these, who are some of the female
Sadhguru,
Exactly. So they see these people and they hear the words, and the words that they hear are really beautiful. But those people themselves have to do some work on themselves in order to get to that same place that they're telling us. What were some of the things that you had to do with yourself to get to that place of recognizing true beauty past and beyond the makeup, and really understanding how you show up affects how people receive you? What were some of the things or practices that you had to go through or to implement with yourself?
Well, there are a lot of answers to all those questions. One thing is that I meditate, and I've been doing that most of my life. So that's a practice that has enabled me to move into a place of more stillness and get out of the mental chatter that often is so distracting about, you know, what if I need to, you know, what in a meditative practice we often call the monkey mind, because, you know, our mind's always running, always. And then I've done a lot of inner work and work with some of the people who you've mentioned, to work with letting go of my own limiting self-beliefs so that I can see who I truly am. And in recognizing that, I think it enables me to see more clearly that same thing in other people, because we all have it. It's just merely a matter of working to that place where we can let go, to step forward and look and see ourselves in the mirror of another person without the judgments, but to see that true spark of love and of light. I know that almost sounds kind of na-na-nu-nu, and a lot of people who are listening are going, oh my God, you know, she's off on another planet. But the truth is that that's really how we all operate. We just often forget about it or ignore it. So it's about paying attention to that. And what I find is, as people, because I work with a lot of people, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, and military, who are transitioning out of active duty into either private sector work or civilian life or both. I don't speak about anything metaphysical, because that often is, you know, like not anything that they want to hear or talk about. And nor do they need to necessarily. I think the truth of the matter is that it's taking a look at your mindset to see what it is that might be blocking you from really presenting in a way that the world responds more positively to you. Or sometimes, like, for example, with the military, a lot of them have been in service for so long, especially many of the female officers that I've worked with. They say things to me like, other than my, you know, uniform, camis, you know, dress, I have my church outfit, or, you know, my worship outfit, and my soccer mom outfit. What do I do? And so it's a reinvention from the beginning. And it's not necessarily going, wow, what are your limiting beliefs? How are you operating in the world? It's just seeing what that person needs and truly listening to what they need and what they want, and finding that way for them that supports them in really getting to the end result that they want, and then enabling them to be able to make choices so that they can further themselves without necessarily depending on me. It's sort of as an educator, I give them the tools to work with so they can take that out into the world themselves. I mean, they can always call me back. I have clients who repeatedly have me come over, but or work with me. You know, now there are Zoom sessions too. But that's one of the things, Robert. I think it's simply that it's not about me trying to change someone's mindset in terms of the huge picture. It's more of that internal picture of how they can see themselves as more of a whole person without those negating self-judgments that we so often just pour upon ourselves instead of saying, wow, I could really make a difference in the world today and really shine out there. So that's what I support people in getting to.
Love it. We're getting low on time here. Slow down, Robert. Breathe. Okay, here we go. We're getting low on time here. But because this is live, I do want to take a live question from our audience here. And so we have one that says, do you think it's easier to reject superficiality and see yourself when you're at a place where you do feel good about yourself, or when you're at a place where you don't? And I'll repeat that again. Hopefully we can both get understanding from that. Do you think it's easier? Let me get that back on screen here. Hold on. Do you think it's easier to reject superficiality and see yourself when you're at a place where you do feel good about yourself, or when you're at a place where you don't?
The honest answer that I find, because I love honest answers, is of course it's easier to see yourself as profound and your own strength and well-being when you do feel good about yourself, because those are just easier moments. And the challenge, of course, is to see yourself as that strong, magnificent human being that is going out into the world, even when we are having those lower moments, because we all have them. You know, even people who are fabulous. I mean, you know, people often think actors are always so, you know, up and wonderful. And believe me, they have their moments. I have mine. You know, we all do. And the fine line is finding that place where you can connect into your own strength and show up with that fullness of who you are. There's a saying by, I can't remember who said it, but it's get up, dress up, and show up. And it's not necessarily dress up like, you know, beat down and put on a ton of makeup and, or, you know, like get all that grooming going on and all that stuff. It's about really pulling ourselves together to show up and be present. And you know, it's a great question. Thank you so much. Yeah. A really great question, because we all grapple with that. So yeah, it's easier when you're feeling good about yourself, but underneath it all, when you know, even if you don't feel like you're having your top day, that you can use some of that superficiality maybe to bring it in so that you've got it. Because oftentimes when we pull ourselves together, we look at ourselves and go, oh, okay, well, you know, I might not be having the best day, but darn, I look good. You know?
I was going to ask another question, but I think you just answered it. And the question was really about the connection between dressing up and how you feel, or how you can show up sometimes, especially when you just mentioned get up, dress up, show up. And especially now when everybody's at home, right? And we're doing a lot of work from remote work, and we are in our pajamas a lot, or we might put something on the top. Business on top, party on the bottom, right?
That's right. Hey, running shorts on the bottom. Come on.
But is there a connection between, listen, I'm going to really dress up, and how you ultimately show up on camera or in person? Talk to us a little bit about that connection before we wrap up here.
Yes, I'd love to. And by the way, I do Zoom sessions. So, folks know. And so I understand because, as I do Zoom sessions and I'm on Zoom a lot, I understand what it's like to be on camera. And someone mentioned to me, one of my clients a few weeks ago, she needed a makeup lesson because she kept looking at herself because we look at ourselves so repeatedly on Zoom. You can't help it unless you turn your own view off. Yeah. That she said, oh, my gosh. I need a Zoom face. I don't usually wear much makeup, but I need something so that I look like I'm presenting better. Because I think that what happens, we went through in the earlier part of the pandemic, a very at ease, lackadaisical. It's like, okay, all bets are off because, everybody's home. We're wearing our sweats or our pajamas or our running shorts. I live in Arizona, so, those things where it was like, don't care, doesn't matter. But then I think a lot of people started thinking, well, wait a minute, it does matter because I don't like how I look on camera, or I don't feel like I'm respecting myself looking like I just rolled out of bed right now. And if I feel that way, how can other people feel like they're respecting me? Or conversely, sometimes we're looking at people on camera and let's face it, people judge. I'm sorry, folks. People just do. I try not to, but people do. And they think, oh, I thought she was a good looking woman, but whoa, that hair is like all over the place, or what happened, or why is she, why didn't she at least get out of the sweats or something? And I think that what happens, and I've noticed this psychologically to answer the other part of the question, that when it's kind of like theater. Sometimes we have to think of life like theater, and I don't advocate dressing up like runway because that's theater and that's a different theater. But what I'm talking about is just put on that dang costume, if it's your dress or if it's your good shirt or, like groom your hair, shave. If you're shaving, if you have a beard, keep your beard groomed. If you're wearing like Robert, I mean, he's rocking that beard, folks. I've always wanted to be able to make a beard that looked that good on an actor. When we pull ourselves together, there's just a psychological thing that happens that we feel like we're ready to meet the world. I remember, just as a quick anecdote, I was getting ready to leave a show and I was going to meet a then boyfriend. This was years ago. And I was putting on some makeup and one of the drivers came in and looked at me and said, oh, putting on the war paint, I see. And I mean, the funny thing about it was like, yeah, I guess I'm bracing for whatever it is that's coming. There's just something about putting on the war paint or putting on your game face or putting on the clothes that give you that empowered moment that change things. I remember hearing one of the actors on Suits said something about, when I put that suit on with all the accoutrement, I feel like I am in charge and in power. And that's the whole thing about dressing up that can give us that edge. So I just want to...
We can literally, I mean, that part of the conversation alone is huge, and we can go down this road about dressing up and even the conversations about societal expectations around dress and the meaning of that. So we can go down a lot of different paths here, but I definitely want to get you back.
Robert.
Yeah, we could definitely go in. Let's definitely do this again. Let's definitely do this again. So wrap us up here by telling us a little bit. We see your website, ektruth.com. Tell us a little bit about where people can find you online, what you have going on right now that can make a difference for people.
Okay, so ektruth.com. I chose truth, EK are my initials, because I want people to be able to speak to the truth of who they are and present that in a way that makes them really feel great and shine. It's a really deep, comprehensive, very verbose website. I need to edit some of the words, but I talk a lot, so apparently I wrote a lot. But there's a lot of information there. You can reach me through that or at info@ektruth.com. And there are other ways to reach me that are on the website. I offer Zoom sessions now, so anywhere in the world, I can assist people and happily help you because it's fun. It's like the energy that Robert and I have here is the kind of thing that we do together to get you to a place that makes, that enables you, I don't want to say makes you, that enables you to really like get how to create that for yourself in a way that just makes you feel great. So I do Zoom sessions, I do in-person sessions, I do them in California and Washington usually, and for people who want me to fly out to them, bring me over and I'll fly anywhere. And I will wear my mask on the airplane. I'm very cogent of all the COVID regulations right now.
Love it.
So, and I would, Robert, I would love to do this again and dive even more deeply into societal norms and how we can use them to our advantage instead of feeling like we're at the effect of them.
Love it. Love it. Emily, it's been fabulous. Fantastical having you here on the What's My Story podcast. I look forward to doing this again.
Oh, me too. Robert, thank you so much for having me. And thank you folks out there who are watching this podcast or who are listening to it. Really appreciate you spending the time with us today. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Listen, we have said that beauty is only skin deep. At least that's the belief of some other people. But as you've heard today, it's not just about what's on the outside. It's not just about what's on the inside. It's about the combination of those things to really drive you towards connection with people. How do you feel about you? Does dressing up make you feel a certain way? Does dressing down make you feel a certain way? Do people see you a certain way because of how you show up, how you present yourselves, what your mental toughness is each day? I want you to pay attention to your story, not just your personal experiences, not just your personal situations, but the story of how you look, the story of how you dress, the story of how you show up each day, because it does make a difference. And we want your story to be one that deserves to be told. And I believe they all deserve to be told, because as we say at the end of every show, everything that happens to you in life is your stuff. Your stuff is your story, and your story, yeah, your story deserves a stage. I'm Robert Kennedy III, RK3, and I'll see you next time for the What's My Story podcast. Peace. What's my story?